Hello and welcome to the 21st episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. I am Samantha Blackman, one of your co-hosts. I'm an associate professor at Purdue University here in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I study minority rhetorics and digital rhetoric. And I am joined this evening, as with every episode, by my two co-hosts, Alex Lane and Sarah White.
Ladies. Woo! Yeah! I'm Alex Lane. I am a PhD student at Purdue in crappy West Lafayette, and just kidding, West Lafayette. I study rhetoric and composition, and with a specialty in gaming and gender issues. I'm also a famous interviewer and a boxer. Sarah?
Wow. I am Sarah White, and I know I can't. And I teach at Purdue North Central to the north of these two fine ladies. And if you check the Wikipedia entry on Westville, it may still say that we do have a slight zombie problem up here in Westville. So you might check that out. Yeah, and I teach English and all that good stuff. And yeah, that's me.
So tonight, we will do kind of our usual spiel. We'll start out with what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking. And then we'll move on to our news, our indie game of the week, and our issue of the week. And we're starting a new fun series tonight that we're all really excited about. And we hope you will be too. So we'll start with what you're playing. And we'll let Alex start.
Alex. So as you who follow us religiously, I'm sure there's thousands of you. Yeah. Sam and I participated in a 24-hour game-a-thon for charity. If you want to see us at not our best or finest moment, you can go ahead and watch the video confessionals from that, which are very, very fun. So I played a lot of games to try and keep myself awake. Unfortunately, I didn't play too many new ones because it was more about like survival than exploration for me. So I played Call of Duty Black Ops a lot. Dance Central, also a lot. I think I put in about 4 hours of dancing.
Yeah, you did.
Which is unfortunate for everybody else in the room, let me tell you. I played some Super Mario Brothers Wii, to which I threw my friend Patty in the lava about 15 times. I'm very good at that game, so I kept picking her up to carry her through the levels. But at that point, I was so out of it, I kept like throwing her down into lava and into holes and killing her accidentally. And I was trying to save her. It was very unfortunate. I played The Binding of Isaac, to which I have a very interesting, can I toot my own horn and say
yes,
it's interesting?
Absolutely.
An interesting post up on the disturbingness, and I there's some good videos in there too. I feel like I've been talking forever. I played Glowfish also, which was my indie game of the week last week, I believe, which I'm up to a couple hours on now, so that's good or not good. I played some Civ 5. I played one of the most disturbing games I've ever played in my entire life, called Viva Pinata. Holy crap, that game is so disturbing. I'm going to write another blog about that next week. So,
and I look forward to your blog about that. I saw it was anticipated, and I couldn't wait.
Oh my gosh, you can't even imagine how disturbing that game is. I also played Edge on Steam, which is my indie game of the week this week. And I downloaded a new game on the iOS, which Sam has still not installed. Thank you very much for being my neighbor.
I'm doing that as we speak.
Called Tapfish 2, which is not totally revolutionary or anything. It's a lot like the iOS games, even iOS fish games that I've played before. But I don't know. I always find it sort of fun to play. I get into those games for like a week, and then they kind of fade away. But yeah, that's what I have been playing.
Nice.
Thank you.
Wow.
I agree.
Incredible.
Well, I guess I can go too then.
Sure.
Yeah, just let
the good times roll.
Yeah.
Well, as Alex said, we did the Extra Life Marathon to raise money for Children's Miracle Network and specifically Riley Children's Hospital.
How much did you raise, Samantha? Do you know?
Us as a group? I can't remember.
The overall thing was over $1 million, right?
Yeah, yep. Wow.
Yeah, overall it was over $1 million.
Yeah, good.
Well, if when I get a final total, because I'm still having donations come in, I will tell you what my final total was.
Mine was $225. I'm just saying.
Well, see. Well,
everything's a competition.
That's okay, because I already beat her.
Oh, now I'm sad.
So I played a lot of different stuff. One thing that I played a lot of was Batman Arkham Asylum. Because I was trying to finish Batman Arkham Asylum before Batman Arkham City came out, which didn't happen. Because I needed, after I got really tired, I did need to shift and switch games a lot just to keep myself awake. But I played a whole lot of Batman Arkham Asylum.
I was going to say, you certainly put in the effort on that one.
I did. But I love that game. It was a whole lot of fun. I'm really anxious to play Arkham City. But maybe I'll be able to get it on sale by the time I finish Arkham Asylum. I played Fallout New Vegas. I played Mario Kart for the Wii, of course. Well, I guess for the Wii, because I guess it's available on DS too. I played Sims Medieval for iOS, which was not really very sim-like, and I didn't like it. I'll talk about that at another time. I played Tiny Towers on the iOS, which I'm addicted to. And I play on my iPad way, way, way too much. I played some Angry Birds Seasons on my phone. And I played, there's another zombie game I played, Zombie Life. Which is another one of those time management games. They just have you as a zombie instead of a little person or, you know, anything else this time around. Yeah, I know. And then I still play a lot of other stuff. I played some Viva Pinata, which I find more amusing than disturbing.
Oh, please.
It's
been forever since I played, the pinata porn is a different story, but you know.
Viva Pinata porn, thank you. I didn't want to say it for the kids.
Say what?
Yeah. There is so much disgusting sex in that video game.
Oh, no.
You don't even realize because they package it in these cute little, this game's for kids. And then, bam, worms doing it. But I'm sorry. That's another time.
You just watch them. You build a little shack.
And then as soon as they have sex and make a baby, then one of the other characters needs to go eat them. It's horrible. I'm sorry. Sam, I'm sorry. Continue, please. I promise I'll save it.
Save it for your post, man. Save it for your post. I went back and played some Bastion, but I was really, really tired by the time I started playing Bastion. We were probably about 20, pretty close to 20 hours in, so my reflexes were really bad. I played not during the marathon. I played some Connectimals, the demo anyway, and some of the new Once Upon a Monster game, the new Sesame Street game, both kids' kind of games on the Kinect, the demo as well, because I wanted to take a look at them before I tried them out with my daughter to see if she would be interested in either of them before I went out and bought them. So for 11 different games is what I'm counting. That's what I played this week.
Like, people were asking me why I was walking around with like these huge eyes and like sallow skin and like, oh man, I've seen some things you don't even know.
Wow. Well, I can hardly compete with this list, as you know. But this week, I returned, of course, to my familiar Words with Friends, because I'm still sucked in the vacuum that is, you're an English teacher, professor, let me play you and beat you. You know, so people want to beat you and you're playing the Scrabble little Facebook game. So I had to deal with that.
Yeah, nothing makes my mom happier than beating Sam. She literally, like, will call and text me incessantly. Hey, I just guessed her word. It was this. Isn't that good?
Yeah, well, you know, the situation here involves a little bit of, how do I want to say this? It involves my relationship. And my girlfriend challenged me to Words with Friends. So it's become very personal. And she beat me. So that's resulted in some serious gaming attention to that particular game. Okay, so. And then, what else? Oh, well, I played a game relevant, a replay, a game relevant to our discussions for this evening. So I don't know if I should really mention it per se, but I did play Plants vs. Zombies. And then a little bit of Angry Birds found its way in there. And then Gardens of Time. You know I like my hidden object games.
Yeah, I'm over so, that game.
Yeah, really kind of the boring, you know, soccer mom set is what I'm representing this week. But that's all I really found time for other than the game of life, which I've played with gusto.
With gusto, huh?
I tried.
Alrighty, then. That's what we're playing. The next question up would be what you're reading. And I have to admit, after doing the 24-hour marathon, I've been playing so much catch-up. Other than reading stuff for work. I'm still reading through Neal Stephenson's voluminous tome, Read Me. yeah, I know.
That's very clever.
That's about what I'm reading. That's all I've been reading other than, I don't know, if you want to talk about Richard Miller and Geneva Smitherman and Keith Gilliard and Victor Villanueva, those folks.
Nice. Building the master's tool, or master's house up with the master's tools, huh?
So that's what I was reading this week.
Yeah, I haven't read anything. Don't tell my instructors that. Whoops.
Oops.
But I was
at least I did read for class.
Oh, whatever. I was at the Feminisms and Rhetoric Conference last week, which was so fun. But I was gone all week in Minnesota and then came back and then had the 24-hour gaming marathon. And then I found out I was turning into a shark. So that all sort of snowballed and I haven't done any reading. However, I did have time to interview a very, very famous video game designer. She used to be a writer, I learned. Sherry Graner Ray, who I will be putting her interview on the site soon after some things happen. And I just cannot wait for our listeners to hear that interview because it surprised me. It shocked me. I learned a ton. And she is absolutely amazing and incredible. So I'm very excited about
good
that.
Job.
So is that, can I cheat and say that an interview is kind of like reading? Is that cool?
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. Well, cause I'm going to try to sneak in The Walking Dead, in preparation for this episode. I watched the first season of The Walking Dead.
Ooh.
So I was trying to educate myself on zombies. I did read some stuff more about on Kristeva. Right, the abject, and I was trying to wrap
Julia
my head
Kristeva?
Around. Yeah, and I was trying to kind of get a sense of why zombies have sort of reached this amazing explosion in our culture right now, and why it is they never seem to quite die in our lore. I was checking that out, and I did read an interesting article called Textual Analysis: Digital Games and Zombies, and dealing mostly with Resident Evil 4. There was another one, it's on the internet, this one, but it's a master's thesis still. The title grabbed my attention. It was From Voodoo to Viruses, the Evolution of the Zombie in the 20th Century.
Who do you
voodoo, bitch? But I like the idea because other articles I'd read had mentioned, of course, how zombies are often race and oppression because zombies come out of a lot of the tradition.
Okay, let me just start by saying this. You can stop talking about that now because whoever that was just kind of scooped me totally on what I was going to talk about.
Then I will stop.
No, I'm joking.
Okay.
So the teaser for later on in the episode.
Teaser for later. But anyway, I was educating myself on zombies in every way that I could. And of course, they segue and they, you know, have a sort of relationship where they're kind of kissing cousins with the vampire. So, you know, it was all kind of blended together since I have the vampire core. So that was what I have been focusing my attentions upon.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I scoop every week. I'm good at this.
All right. So the next question is one of our usual favorite questions. And I complained last week because I was drinking coffee because we were recording.
In the morning.
Well, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. In the morning, yes.
Yeah, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Wow.
But now it's evening and I am still drinking coffee. Yes, I'm drinking coffee at 10:30 at night. I know. I'm drinking coffee at 10:30 at night. Why? Because I actually want to be able to stay awake through this podcast and be able to be a bit lucid. And I have some baking to finish up.
We appreciate
after
that.
after all is said and done?
Baking.
Baking.
I'm going to give you a sound effect and you guys can guess what I'm drinking.
Knowing you, a scotch.
Scotch. Scotch, scotch, scotch.
I love my scotch, right?
Although I know everybody's disgusted now because you're supposed to drink scotch neat, but you know what?
I was going to say, if it's ice, if it's got ice, it's with Alex's scotch.
You all can suck it because I like ice. So that's what I'm drinking. I'm very happy about it. I'm incredibly exhausted, and I found out that sharks drink scotch, so it's all cool.
Interesting, this shark thing.
Well, what happened is I lost a tooth. Lost as in got it pulled. Uh-huh. And one is growing back in its place.
Awesome.
No, it's like half in.
That is the best. You're regenerating.
I also stopped being able to sleep since the marathon, and then I've been taking a lot of baths to try and help myself sleep. So naturally, Patty, my friend, decided that I am turning into a shark.
Are you getting a fin on your back? Like, you're getting kind of a weird hunchback?
I've been having nightmares about it, but no, not yet.
Okay.
Although, well, I don't know. Maybe I am.
You know sharks can't stop swimming or they die.
Uh-oh.
Well, maybe that's why I've been drinking like a fish. Oh, snap! Oh, yes! I'm just kidding.
Yeah, good job. Well, on that idea, that's interesting to me because my last name is White. So every now and then I put a shark on my profile picture because I'm the great White. So anyway, I'm even more classy. I went to Kmart because I was trying to kill time before an appointment, and I bought some of my Barefoot. You guys know I like my Barefoot Chardonnay.
Barefoot is quite cheap.
So, I am drinking Barefoot Chardonnay purchased at a Kmart on a rainy Indiana night.
That just screams classy.
I know. Or it sounds like a John Mellencamp song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a bit, a bit.
A bit. So that's been my what you're drinking.
Nice. Okay, so that's what you've been drinking. Let's go ahead and hit news of the week.
News.
Sorry.
I didn't know we had a new song, but okay.
That's the new news.
We're gonna have to come up with some audio for news.
You know, I did add a news story late, but I didn't know if you guys had seen this. But several articles were talking that the Xbox 720.
Oh yeah,
on its way in 2013. Right?
I did not see that.
So it was in the same section that was talking about how again, video game sales are on the downside. They're not as high as they expect.
That's interesting though, because I saw an article that I posted up here for you guys that DLC content is up.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
Is up 11% in 2011, which is pretty sizable. I think so. Definitely not all quote unquote video games. Perhaps just the type of video game is changing. Well,
I'm sorry. Yeah, but not only is it up, but more than what is it? I think it's like 50% or 51% of all console owners at this point have purchased DLC,
which is incredible.
Well, I told you guys tonight. I was going to get off. Buy something off Steam because it's so instant that, you know, why go to the GameStop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
So anyway.
I think that's amazing.
That is exciting.
Here's another interesting number. I like numbers. I like numbers this week too. NPD group collected a bunch of data in August of this year anyway, and they have come up with the numbers that 91% of children in the U.S. between the ages of 2 and 17
mm-hmm.
are gamers.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's huge.
91%. And I guess I can count my kid at 3 in that 91%.
Wow.
91%. How crazy is that?
Well, that's replacing a lot of entertainment forms. Right?
That bodes well for women, too, because obviously that includes plenty of women.
Because they play with their kids. Not to say that men don't, but...
Oh, well, I think... And also because it's as many girls as boys playing, basically, right? If it's 91%...
Yeah, if it's 91% of kids, that's a lot of women. A lot of girls.
Yeah, a lot of girls playing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a pretty cool number for me, I thought.
That is. That's quite amazing. But, yeah, because it's been incorporated in their education by now. It's you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's interesting.
What else you got? And then I'll throw in my other one.
Oh, let's see. Okay, so I have a few just random ones that I just want to mention real quick, not really talk about. One, which I am crazy excited about, which I found out about today, is there's this new game, Lollipop Chainsaw, coming out, which is supposed to be, like, rainbow bright killing fucking zombies. Okay, so, not actual rainbow bright, but like that.
Yes.
And I find that so hilarious. So, I guess I don't need to talk about it later, but it looks horrible and exploitative and sexist, but also freaking hilarious. So I'm excited to see what happens with that.
Sort of sounds like Buffy.
Yeah. She's a little less of a character than Buffy. Buffy's a pretty substantial character.
Yeah.
And then let's see. There's a new study out about a really long study that they did about how much time you spend playing violent video games and then your actual violent effects. It was hard. It sounded like it was on Game Politics News, and they didn't really have a ton of information about it. Just that the study came out. The only solid piece that they had was that they were linking it to a decrease in actual crime rates. So, like, the amount of time you spent playing violent video games decreased the amount of likelihood that you committed a violent crime.
Well, I gotta tell you, violent video games have kept me from killing many a folk.
Oh, man, I come home and I kill the crap out of some people and I feel so much better.
I think it's true. Absolutely.
So, I thought that was interesting. I'm excited to see what the rest of the study says. CCP, I wrote cutes, cuts 20% of staff. They're the people who make EVE Online. So that's sort of an issue for some people. I know a few of my friends who are obsessed with EVE Online, so look out. Also, they're making a video game to recreate the death of Gaddafi.
Oh, come on.
The people that made the game about, who was it? Osama bin Laden being killed. They made a flash game about it. So they just announced today they're going to make one of Gaddafi, being killed. And
that
then.
That was fast, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, wow.
And then my absolute favorite story of the week, is the creator of Final Fantasy series and a couple other really big games.
Yeah.
What? Are you guys laughing already?
Yeah,
I am.
I think it was at the Game Developer Conference that happened last week.
GDC Online?
Right. And in an interview or whatever said, when he was being asked about why he made his female characters so, like, hypersexualized and et cetera, et cetera, he said, this shouldn't be shocking, but for me, it feels good to hear it be said. Said that he doesn't care about, like, the depth and stuff about female characters, that he makes female characters that he would want to sleep with.
Uh-huh.
So the writer of this article on Kotaku writes, this is a quote, "Most of the egregiously sexist character designs are based on fuckability rather than playability."
Wow.
Absolutely.
Which it just feels so good that they finally admit that, because I've heard such bullshit arguments like, oh, well, you know, the female characters need to be smaller because of this, or no, their frames wouldn't support armor because blah, blah, blah. Like, finally, there's no more excuses. Obviously, they're making characters they want to fuck, not that are good characters, or people want to play them, or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just sex symbols. And I think that that little tiny line just fueled a lot of conversation, I hope, in the female gaming community, and hopefully some backlash about the crappy female characters that have been made lately, but not just lately, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my by far favorite news story of the week.
Nice. Well, I got one thing that I think is really interesting and I want to throw out there. It was in a news story in the National Defense Business and Technology magazine last week, actually. Because I tend to get interested in what the military is doing with games, just to see how they're using them. And the military, the Army actually, is testing out a strategy game that teaches folks who are being sent to Afghanistan how to think like a local village elder. And the game's called Culture Shock Afghanistan. And it sounds like it's more of a, interestingly enough, a casual game, because there people are supposed to log in every day and play from like 5 to 15 minutes. And then they make decisions based on stuff that's happening in their world. It's kind of like Facebook games, right? Sure. Because it's supposed to be played in short bursts, and they make these decisions based on what's going on in their world, right? Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to help them learn about the culture of Afghanistan. And they also, in order to kind of help them make the decisions that they need to make, they can access their reference guide that they call Afghanpedia.
Oh, no.
Wikipedia for Afghanistan. Oh, wow. Wow. Right. And interestingly enough, they're supposed to log in for 5 to 15 minutes every day, and it's an 8-week course. So it's not very long, but you know, I guess that's all the cultural awareness they need in order to go over.
That's right. 10 minutes a day. That's all you need.
Wow. That's all you need. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about all we got for news this week?
That's all I got. Sarah?
That's all I got. I mean, I just found, I found another one that talked about video games helping Parkinson's, but that didn't seem like it was necessarily new, but it was interesting. Gaming can help with the symptoms and the, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited the new things technology is doing for medicine, not necessarily on like a curing route, mm-hmm. right? Because that's been around for a long time, but I just did a data visualization unit in one of my business writing courses, and it was talking about how data visualizations have done so much for getting the word out there about diseases, and it's helped people see, you know, quote unquote disorders in a different way. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, that's all I knew. What about Scotchy Scotch? You got the indie game of the week.
I was gonna say the soft tinkling of ice is making me want to drink.
Well, it sounds so classy.
Usually, what I do is mute it when I'm taking a drink, but I think I'm past the point of caring, so you're just going to hear my ice for the rest of the episode. I'm so tired.
Just sounds so classy.
I think I'm going to have a drink while I finish my baking this evening.
Yeah, I definitely suggest everybody have a drink. So, okay, so Indie Game of the Week. The Indie Game of the Week is Edge, which in not so many words is totally weird. So I realize this is not a new game. Those of you who have iOS and iPad have been able to get this game since 2008. I had never seen it before. It just came out on Steam in August. Mm-hmm. And I downloaded it finally. It won a bunch of awards, like for being a good indie game, and has an 85% rating, and has got some acclaim. It's a really simple game, and I don't know why, but it's so disturbing to play. Maybe it was because I played it a bunch after I'd been awake for like 16 hours. But, like, you're this cube, and you have to. It's meant for you to like drag your finger around on your screen to like move the cube. But I played it. Obviously, I played it on my laptop, so I had to use like my trackpad and stuff. But so, you're this cube. You like move around, but and you're like walking around on a island of cubes. Can you hear Smalls trying to get in the room? Mm-hmm. Then like you have to try and balance your weight on things and like use momentum to get across like bridges and stuff. And I don't know, like it's one of those games that I've been thinking about it a lot, so I think I'm addicted to it already. Yeah, so it's interesting. I also think it's interesting to play games that are obviously made for the iOS and then get transferred to the PC because I think most of the ones I've experienced are the other way around. They have the PC version and then they make it for the iOS. So this was, I guess Angry Birds is not that way. But anyway, I really like this game. It's simple. It sort of is indicative of what a good indie game is for me, which is like simple, but kind of pretty and intriguing, and it might keep me up at night. But I hope someone else out there has played this and sends us a note or something, because I don't know if it was just me being crazy, but it feels weird. The game just feels really odd.
Sounds sounds intense.
Yeah, and then I wanted to throw on here my indie game for next week because it's 10% off right now, so it's like $4 or something. It's going to be Lightfish, and it looks a little like Glowfish, but I think it's going to be a little more sinister, so I'm sort of excited for that. So if anybody wants to play along with my indie game of the week, you can check that out, and I'll talk about it next week.
Cool.
Done.
Clink.
At least she didn't spike it. Well, my indie game of the week really doesn't count because it was Alex's indie game of the week last week. I, of course, played along with, shall we say, some Binding of Isaac. And by play, I meant screaming to people what they should do instead of actually
playing. Yeah, you sort of backseat gamered that one.
I did. I backseat gamered that one because I was trying to play Batman Arkham Asylum at the same time. See, I was really trying to demonstrate the skills during the 24-hour marathon to see how many games I could play at the same time.
Well, I mean, it's not your fault either, because when I was playing Binding of Isaac, there was a huge crowd around, and the game's so freaking disturbing, you can't not watch, right? Like, there's zombie fetuses running around.
I totally have to play this game
spitting blood
now.
At you.
I cannot, yeah. Between the blog and how much you've talked about it, I must play this game.
Yeah, it's totally disturbing.
Yeah, totally and completely.
Check out my blog.
Yeah, your blog is great. Yeah. Pictures and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play an indie game, I'll just admit it. So, I mean,
for shame.
I know.
For shame.
Falling down on the job. I will next time.
All right. So, next up, we have our issue of the week. It's the Not Your Mama's Gamer video game time capsule. We have decided that we are going to do our time capsule series. And I'll explain a bit of what the time capsule series is. The time capsule series is just this. We talk a lot about games as social critique, as cultural critique. So what we're going to do during the time capsule series is every episode, we're going to choose a series of games, related games, thematically related games, that we would include in a time capsule that we would bury to be retrieved 100 years from now. Of course, along with the hardware that would be necessary to play these games, in case people are going, well, nobody's going to have an Xbox in the... in 100 years, we'll all be playing in our heads. Yeah, that might be the case, but we're going to include the hardware as well. So, and what we want to think about is what in 100 years people would glean about us as a society based on the games that we include in that time capsule. So, what do these games mean? So, this week we chose zombies. We let
cue
Sarah
the zombie noise.
Cue the zombie noise.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. That's what I'm good for.
Sarah thought zombies would be a great choice for this week with Halloween coming and all. Because we won't record again before Halloween.
Oh.
Today's the 20th, so we won't record again before Halloween. So yeah, this will be a Halloween episode. Trick or treat.
Smell
like ghosts. I don't know. I didn't know what to throw in there.
So we thought we'd talk a bit about zombies. And the zombie games that we've played recently. And I don't want to start. Because I want to... I don't want to start because I'll talk forever if you let me start.
What if I scoop you?
You won't. Well, if you scoop me, I'll just tell you shut up.
Oh, well, that'll be just like any other day.
And I'm apparently a good scooper without even knowing it. So,
I can start. I can talk about the game that I buried in the time capsule.
What game are you adding to the time capsule?
I am adding Black Ops. And Black Ops, I think, has a ton of a possibility as far as time capsules go, but specifically the zombie modes are what I want to have looked at in 100 years to tell us about our culture. So here's some of the things that I think it says about us. First, you have to look at all the different boards in the zombie part of Black Ops. I listed a few of them here. And what I think is really fascinating is that the different boards have different types of zombies. So 5 has American zombies. Shinonuma, I'm probably going to say tons of these wrong. I don't know, Japanese or German. Have Imperial Japanese zombies. The arcade version has Soviet zombies. The moon has an unknown category of zombies, which is fitting because they're from space. Nachter Untoten something has Nazi zombies, and as well as these are Nazi zombies all the way down here. Verrucht, Derice, and Kino Der Toten. All 4 of those worlds have Nazi zombies. And there's a couple other ones too, but I don't have fancy map packs, so meh. What I thought was most, okay, let me keep going. So some of the playable characters in most of these levels are historical characters. John F. Kennedy, Fidel Castro, Richard Nixon, Robert McNamara. And so I think it's sort of interesting, and I know I've talked a lot about on different blogs about how games recast historical situations and historical characters to kind of say something new. And what I find really interesting is that the way these levels pick out particular historical characters and groups and sort of recast them. So the Nazis are recast as zombies. And so what does this say about our culture and the things that are okay to make fun of and the things that are okay to kill, the things that are okay to turn into zombies? Right. So the Nazis are definitely on the okay list, according to this. This is what this video game would be arguing. Imperial Japanese zombies, American zombies, Soviet zombies. It's sort of cast in probably 60 years ago, 70 years ago, something like that. And then interesting that Kennedy and Castro and Nixon and McNamara are the 4 main characters, because they would not be the characters I chose. But of course they were important in this time period. So I thought it was interesting about how it calls into question who it's okay to commit violence against, particularly because you usually have like faceless, enemies, you know, just like sort of the ensign or the redcoats, you would call them, like the one, it's like on Star Trek where it's Picard and Riker and Troy and then Ensign bloody blah, and you're like, oh crap, Ensign bloody blah is gonna die, right? So usually you have sort of this like faceless enemy, and here you have a particular category of people, so I thought that was sort of interesting. I think it's interesting what it says about the historical characters that still matter in culture, but the ones you can kind of make fun of. And then, me personally, what I thought was really intriguing is that there's no women in the zombie modes. There's not zombie women. There's not zombie protagonists. Of course, there's not women in the entire game, so that's not surprising. Right. But I think that would say a lot about our culture if someone opened this 100 years from now. So, man, I need to take a breath now.
Very cool.
Well, I am excited about that topic. So,
awesome. No, I think that's awesome, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I listed like 500 different zombie games that I played and continue to play, but I guess one of the ones that I want to focus on would probably be, got to do it, the Resident Evil series, and I want to choose them all. So we're going to put them all on one big collector's disc and do the Resident Evil collection from Resident Evil to Resident Evil 5. Mm-hmm. I'm cheating. Yeah.
Well, really, wasn't that the game that kind of brought the zombie, you know, I mean, wasn't that the one that kind of brought zombies into the gaming world in full? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But one of the things I think about, the one thing about zombies, if we kind of put it out there and say, what does this say about our society? Mm-hmm. I think Resident Evil is one of the, is the one series of games that says a number of different things, both about what we think about people and what we think about corporations as well. Mm. I mean, I think that Resident Evil definitely is one of the games that will indicate to folks that, or make people suspicious of the fact that we may think that corporations are indeed evil, because Umbrella Corp is definitely the evil entity here.
And they kind of take science along with them.
Sure.
That right. Suspicion. I mean, yeah. In that they are the ones that are causing, are causing this zombie outbreak. And I think that this is a really interesting thing. I mean, because here in Resident Evil is where we really get that shift from the undead zombie to the viral zombie. And I think that that's sure. a huge deal, right?
Yeah.
Because by the time we get to Resident Evil 5, we've got some real problems going on in that. Right now we have zombies in the motherland, right? We have mm-hmm. zombies on the African continent who are zombies because of a bloodborne illness.
Right.
Right. That's fucked up beyond belief in a number of different ways. Yeah. That is so reminiscent of the AIDS virus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and here you have once again the white colonizer who has to go into, I mean, really, they couldn't find any black person on the whole fucking continent to fight the zombies. No, they had to find white military male to come in and solve this problem, right? To save the motherland from herself, in essence, right? So we have this really interesting thing going on, and then he brings along a sidekick, right? He brings along a sidekick who is a black woman or an African woman who is working for, yet again, another evil corporation. Well, not evil in the sense of Umbrella Corps, but still evil in that she is working alongside of the military, right? To kill mm-hmm. people who are like herself. Right. And she is, again, is once again, we have the same, we get whore or Madonna. Mm-hmm. and her regular clothing is skimpy enough. But then we also get lots of tribal, you get lots of images of her in tribal kind of clothing, which is equally sexy and sexualized, which is really fucked up. Because, of course, I'm gonna, fight zombies in a loincloth bikini.
Well, sure. You don't want to get that blood on your clothes, you know.
Obviously. Right. Well,
you want it directly on your skin, especially when you're talking about bloodborne pathogens.
Right.
I mean, and she indeed, in many ways, especially when you start talking about the way she gets sexualized, is, as Alex put in the show notes, when we start talking about zombies and female zombies, a walking pair of tits. Or in this case, a walking and shooting pair that is killing others, right? So we have all of these interesting things that are going on in Resident Evil that I think we see playing out in some of the other zombie games. Like if we go back and we look at some of the other kind of more straight shooter zombie games like House of the Dead and Dead Rising, where a lot, I mean, and even we've seen it in our zombie movies as well. Night of the Living Dead. I was like, what is the name of it? Like Night of the Living Dead. It has the obligatory mall scene, right?
Yep.
Where the zombies are coming into a mall where survivors are hiding survivors are being saved by the mall. How's that? Mm. And zombies are trying to get in and kill them, right? So here we have a different spin on capitalism, right? Capitalism saves when we start talking about the malls and House of the Dead, Dead Rising, right? And House of the Dead, even more than that, just thinking about capitalism, is also really into zombies as these scientific snafus, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, interestingly enough, a lot of our zombies these days are anti-science, anti-capitalism,
well,
anti-other, in many different ways, right? Because if we talk about Resident Evil 5, we had mm-hmm. Africans. If we talk about Resident Evil 4, we had Hispanics.
Right?
I'm sorry, Sarah, what were you going to say?
Well, no, I was just going to say what it seems like is that you have these, when corporations get in bed with science, or actually when science gets in bed with corporations, when they sell out and sell out their science, then we have the catastrophe, and then we have the zombies as like their unborn, diseased result. You know what I mean? It's like when science is something pure and knowledge gets in bed with money, the result is catastrophic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is a very interesting thing, right? Because, and I think that the capitalism saves zombie comes from the more classic zombie movie, right? That's more old school. And we see that more in the remakes or the Night of the Living Dead flavored games than we do in the kind of the more straight shooter, more original games, I would say, like Resident Evil, that are taking a different spin on it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really, you know, that's one of the things about the Resident Evil series is that, especially if you start thinking about from the original Resident Evil, good Lord, that must have been.
Oof, that's a long time ago.
It had to be at least 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, 14, that's in the 90s, years. Right?
Yeah. The original Resident Evil to Resident Evil 5, and I'm not even going to talk about upcoming Resident Evils. Yeah, because that's a whole nother story. That's why I cut it off and I said I'm definitely in the 1996, right? So if we talk about the Resident Evils from 1996 to Resident Evil 5 in 2008. God, was it that?
And it still persists.
Is that interesting? That interesting kind of evolution of the zombie that we see in this. I mean, and Resident Evil is one of the first series, for me anyway, that gives us a female protagonist who is, while she may be wearing tight clothing, is not naked. And that's another reason I stopped at Resident Evil 5 and didn't want to move into any of the more, the upcoming Resident Evils, like Resident Evil Revelations.
Yeah, I could talk about that real quick if you want. Because we were talking before, Resident Evil is the first, if anybody who listens to the podcast regularly knows, when I play a game, I play it feverishly for like 40 hours straight and then never play it again. Usually. So Resident Evil 2 was the first game that I played from start to finish. And I remember the her outfit, and it was sort of like these red shorts. They were kind of short. And then like a full top that like didn't have the boobs cut out. And it was kind of, it was short sleeve, but not like super short. It was like a reasonable outfit. And then if you look at the Resident Evil Revelations character, this is where the pair of walking tits come in. There's interesting
tits
articles.
Tits and ass.
Right, yeah. Tits and ass. And I love this quote from this article that I read on Kotaku. Is it me, or is Capcom getting lazier with its creation of minor characters in its Resident Evil franchise? I got absolutely no sense of Rachel's character, only discovering that she has a pert ass, a fine pair of norks, which I have no idea what a nork is, but
never heard of
and an impractical haircut. So her hair covers 3/4 of her face, and the author goes on to talk about how in a horror game, like, the characterization of the person is so dependent on their face that it really shows the lack of characterization that Capcom put into her, that they covered 3/4 of their face. Like, there's only two things we want gamers to see,
right?
And it ain't her face.
They're denying her identity.
Jill Valentine never had her face covered.
Yeah, absolutely. Jill Valentine kicked ass and took names, okay? And she was still good looking, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with Jill Valentine.
She was a little bit ditzy, but that's okay.
Was she?
Yeah,
maybe
sometimes.
I romanticize her. I don't remember.
It could be, because she had some moments where she's like, well, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, like, I don't know. She was still kind of weak.
Well, it's certainly not. Certainly not Rachel, so.
She was, sexualized or ditzified. It doesn't, we either have one choice or the other,
Well, yeah, you do. I mean, but then at the same time, we have, she is Jill Valentine. She is not Sheva Alomar, who, Sheva is a real character in that she fights the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
But she's so over-sexualized and silenced in many ways that it becomes problematic.
Well, it'd be so much more interesting if she was allowed, if they allowed that character to delve into the complexity of her conflict.
Right. And that's something that she really doesn't get to do. It's like, and she doesn't look like, even though her backstory is that she is African, she doesn't look like the other Africans. She is nowhere near as dark. She is almost the same complexion as Chris Redfield.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they want to clearly separate her from the others, right? And in that, she must look different, she must act different, and she must kill them.
Mm-hmm.
In order to kind of justify her own continued existence.
Interesting. I never thought about it like that. That's interesting.
So that would be the one. That would be one of the ones that I would add.
Okay.
To the box.
To the box. Well, the one that I would add, if it's okay with everybody, is Plants vs. Zombies. I mean, we see this as a big game right now. It was probably almost as explosive as Angry Birds, right? I know a lot of people that aren't gamers that were compulsively.
I mean, people, there's like a fad about like getting tattoos of Plants vs. Zombies. So yeah.
Oh my God. There's huge merchandising out there that also go along with Plants vs. Zombies. And what was interesting to me is that kind of going along with piggybacking on what Samantha had said about, you know, capitalism saves the mall, you know, only in the reverse with Plants vs. Zombies for me. What we see in the wave after wave of zombie is they're wearing suits. They're wearing ties. They are marked as male, right? You have the catapulting zombie, but he's still like a male jock, blonde hair, you know. And then you have some zombies with newspapers and their little half glasses, and they're like supposed to be sort of, I suppose, old men. And so I definitely saw them as representing patriarchy. I saw them as representing the middle class because they're wearing suits. Right, they're not wearing t-shirts and jeans, they're not wearing shorts, and mm-hmm. they're not ambiguously dressed, they're marked as male, mm-hmm. and they are attacking to come to your house. Now, what we have then are plants, okay, and plants are our defense, and they are the ones who are, you know, we have to plant the right garden, and we will be able to prevail against these zombies that sort of represent patriarchy to me, represent capitalism to me, represent. You know, money, because if you kill some of them, you can get money from them, which I thought was also sort of oddly misplaced, but also fitting. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. we already know, I mean, if we look at our society now, okay, people say, oh, global warming, global climate change is not happening. Well, okay, unless you're dumb. You know, we had like 20 to 20 foot waves in Chicago. We're supposed to have a horrible winter. You know, something's going on with the climate. Mm-hmm. The argument, of course, is made is that corporations and money and greed, capitalism are big reasons for why our environment is drastically changing. So what we have is this sort of revenge tale of sorts, revenge allegorical cathartic experience here, where the plants now, nature, us replenishing the earth, us making earth our quote-unquote weapons, while they do it literally, you know, you can also see the figurative aspect here, that the sunlight is what we need. It's not money that we need. We need sun to grow the plants that will protect us from the mindless, money-grubbing, suit-wearing zombies.
Sure.
to me, this was an ultimate kind of social critique on our state of the world right now, at least in terms of our American culture. Mm-hmm. And sort of encouraging us to rise up and take care of our earth, because it will ultimately protect us against these forces. So while we look at like the Resident Evil series, specifically as Samantha mentioned, where you have like from it's become a virus and you have corporations in bed with science and they've been corrupted and that virus is what's turning zombies into, you know, these things. Mm-hmm. This game puts the spin on that to kind of suggest that plants, nature, the organic world, it will ultimately save us if we take care of it, tend it, plant it, and everything else. So if I was going to put one, even in its simplicity, you know, it's not the most amazing graphics, it's not the most amazing gameplay necessarily, but it's such a deeper metaphor for what is going on in our world right now that I when I stopped to think about it on deeper terms, I was just blown away by just the depth of what it was suggesting to us. But then like my blog was about nature and video games and how those interact, which I just think is really something to be mined. But that's the one I would pop in the box.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That is interesting. I mean, now see, I know I've played and beat Plants vs. Zombies both on my computer and on my phone. Mm-hmm. Now I want to download and play it again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was really addicted to Plants vs. Zombies for a while there.
So do we have time for one more little one?
Yeah, we can do one more little one. How's that?
I was thinking about talking a little bit about Dead Island because
oh yeah.
We both played it and I thought Dead Island marks a really interesting turn because it's the first game that I played at least that sexualizes the female zombies.
Yes.
So there's these scenes with like, you know, the female zombies with like their rotting flesh wearing bikinis and sitting out drinking daiquiris by the pool or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
And they're, the first thing I thought when I saw it is it reminded me of the, of Jane Eyre, the woman in the attic, right? Like, perfect. You have this sort of, this woman who acts only on instinct and libidinal power and things like that, and that has some sort of interesting sexualization to it, so, I mean, there's the whole feminist horror aspect of the game also, which we've talked about. But the sexualization of women was really interesting. And Sam, I was wondering what you thought about that whole thing.
You know, I am so down with you on that one. I mean, I think that was one of the things that did disturb me in a number of ways in playing that game was that you and maybe it was just the fact that they stood out so much. But when I was playing the game, it seemed that there were more female zombies than male zombies. And kind of that's anecdotal, totally and completely. And like I said, it probably is because it stood out to me so much more. And it was very odd to have to kill these women. And oftentimes you were killing them in with melee weapons. So you're like, so it's like you're beating the shit out of a woman with like a crowbar or a baseball
bat. Which has like some weird penetrating necrophiliac connotations.
It's real problematic for a number of reasons. And then even the women that you know, the women that are on the island that you encounter, the ones that are not dead or not undead, are women that you know, are irritating and helpless and constantly screaming at you to do something about the situation and are not active in any way. Right. Well, because I played a male character when I played the game rather than playing one of the female characters. I mean, and to add that one to the to the time capsule, that would definitely tell somebody a whole lot about, if not give them give them a false idea of what folks were like 100 years ago, would definitely give them an interesting idea about what folks thought about minorities.
Yeah, black stereotypes for sure.
Oh, wow.
Black stereotypes. When I mean that was the your mother was a crack whore. Your father was a convict.
And so you became a rapper.
And so you became a rapper, right? And then, of course, there was the half Aboriginal woman.
What was her name? Like Puma or something?
Yeah,
what?
Whose name was Puma? Like Puma? Yeah,
Puma, Tupuna. I don't remember.
Cat.
Who? Was she the one who joined the to basically when you talk about Aboriginal folks who joined the oppressor, became a police officer, and then
was sexually assaulted.
Lost her job for shooting a child molester in the genitals.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
She castrated him. And then she was the one who unlocked the feminist horror achievement.
Right.
Later renamed. I think it was Gender Wars or something.
Yeah.
And then it was some sort of, when she killed male zombies, she got some sort of bonus. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then, of course, we had the Asian blade specialist, who was a woman as well. And then our football hero.
Yeah, I was going to say the white dude with the tattoos and the troubled past who fell from grace.
The troubled past, the fall from grace, the alcohol, the drugs.
So lazy.
The drunk driving.
The drunk driving, that's right.
Snafus. It was rife with stereotypes to say the very, very least, right? I mean, yeah, and the whole feminist horror thing was really, really, really problematic to begin with. But just because you just mentioned that, it really made me kind of really help me recall the fact that there is also, and I think most people probably heard about this by now, but it's been divulged that there is an achievement that's going to be in Saints Row the Third. That's like Horde, Whored. Yeah, there's a Horde achievement in Saints Row the Third. So yeah, we're rife with horrors these days.
Horrors up to the.
That's horrible.
Wow. That's horrible.
That's horrible. No pun intended.
Sad.
Yeah, sorry.
So is that our time capsule?
I think that's our time capsule for the week.
That's quite the time capsule. Oh, I'm sad. That's
quite the freaking time capsule. Well, we can talk. We can also talk about the zombie fetuses and
you know, let's just leave the Binding of Isaac zombie fetuses that cry blood at you to the yikes. To people who want to go play that game, because that's, you know, that's its own thing.
Wow.
Should we cheer up with some games of the deals of the week?
Yes.
Absolutely.
There's real good ones this week. The Broken Sword Trilogy is 50% off on Good Old Games, but that was there last week, or 2 weeks ago, too, right?
Yeah.
Or was it on Steam?
It was on Steam 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so there's that one on Good Old Games this week. If you didn't pick that up because you didn't get paid or something and now you want to pick it up, go ahead. On Steam, Alice Madness Returns is 50% off. The Commandos Collection is 50% off. Deus Ex is 25% off. And Batman Arkham Asylum is 50% off. So there is so much good stuff going on Steam. There's also a ton of games that we couldn't possibly list that are 10% off. Like I said, the Light Fish, which I will be playing next week for my Indie Game of the Week, is 10% off. So that's exciting. On Amazon, Day of Sex. 40% off. Modern Warfare is 50% off. And mm-hmm. Nailed, which I had not heard of before, it looks like some sort of four-wheeling game, is 80% off. So you can't really go wrong with an 80% off game, no matter what it's about, so.
Well, yeah, you can't.
Well, okay, maybe you can, but.
Hey, we're going to be positive, okay?
Well, since you're throwing out Steam games, and we've been talking about these games before, you can, for the low, low price of $10.19 on Steam, get Grand Theft Auto 3. It's the 20th anniversary of Grand Theft Auto 3. Can you freaking believe that? Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto, and Grand Theft Auto 2. All five games for $10.19.
No way.
Right. That's the weekend deal for five. Now, if you want the complete pack, all seven games, you get it for $12.49.
That's incredible.
Lord, that's amazing.
If I wanted to kill me some prostitutes, I would totally get that.
No shit.
Well, you also get, because we talked about this last, the Ballad of Gay Tony. In the complete pack, it includes episodes from Liberty City, which is going to give you the Ballad of Gay Tony.
You know, I would sort of get that just to play the Ballad of Gay Tony. That's such an interesting DLC.
Yep, because, well, when it was released separately on its own disc, it wasn't DLC. It was, you could just play it separately.
Weird. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because you could buy the disc and you got the Ballad of Gay Tony and something else. There were two things on the disc when it released. If you bought it on disc rather than downloading it as content for four.
Interesting.
Wow. Cool. They've got all kinds of deals. I just visited the site.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff this weekend. I'm definitely going to be, I have four business writing and then business writing for entrepreneurs, both turned in giant projects that I have to grade. So I'm going to go ahead and buy me some Steam games to spend my weekend on. Avoidance therapy.
I can feel that. I got a bunch of grading to do too, but.
Well, see, I've got projects coming in on Tuesday from my class. So I'm going to really need to, you know, play some games. I haven't played anything on a console since the marathon, even though it says something about a game when you come home from playing games for 24 hours and you really think about plugging your console in so that you can play the game more.
No, I totally hear you. I came home and played some Black Ops, which I know you would be disgusted about, but what do you do?
You really are a Black Ops.
I don't know what my problem. I think it's because I'm finally getting good at first-person shooters, and I've been so bad at them for so long that I'm like, I can't
enjoy
stop.
It now before you get older and your reflexes slow down.
Well, here's the problem, though. Now that I started boxing, like, I can hardly, like, I can't pick up a piece of paper with my thumb and my pointer finger. So I think I need, like, I need steroids. Can you get hand steroids for gamers? That's what I need.
Yeah, you can. I mean, no, I don't know anything about it. Side job, no.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, okay. So that was our time capsule for this time. And those are our deals for the week. So I guess that's actually about it. Can you believe it? We made it through another one.
21. We can go out and buy some of our own scotch here.
We're going to have some shots.
Power hour.
Yeah.
We can fight it out. I was like, what's our next time capsule?
Oh, that's a good point.
Let's do the one I suggested that Sarah liked.
Oh, I did say one.
What was that?
Point and click.
Point and click adventures? That'll be fun. Yeah, there's better ones. What can we do?
Well, there was. I liked Samantha had one too.
Apocalypse ones.
Apocalyptic Ooh. Ones, which do kind of overlap zombies.
No, not the ones where I'm thinking about.
Yeah, like Deus Ex would be a good one. Fallout would be a good one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Fallout, those would be good. Or, let's do something we haven't done. I was going to say, we could do cinematic games, but we've done cinematic games more recently.
Yeah, because we talked about L.A. Noire.
Mm-hmm.
When I did say a casual capsule, we could put in the Vills.
That is possible.
Oh, God, shoot me in the head now.
Okay, maybe not that one.
let's go apocalypse. I love thinking about the apocalypse as often as possible.
Yeah, let's do the apocalypse.
Let's do it. It's the end of the world, and we're happy.
It's what is that song? It's the end of the world with Not Your Mama Gamer.
And I feel fine. Right? Okay. That could be our theme song next week.
Let's not ever repeat that.
Okay, let's not do that.
Sam, you're editing this week, right? You can cut that out?
I can cut that out. but I'm not. So next up, we're going to do Games of the Apocalypse.
Woo!
Time capsule. Wait, I did that to the Hot Pockets theme. Maybe we'll think of something else.
You kind of did, yeah.
Yeah, you did. All right. So thanks again, folks, for joining us for our 21st episode of the Not Your Mama's Game podcast. So next up, we're going to talk about our next time capsule episode is going to be on Games of the Apocalypse. So until then, please stay safe, avoid zombies, and game on.
Game on.
Woo!